Right now, it is time for us to take a look at the pages of the BerkshireEdge.com on air. The Berkshire Edge on air. We welcome in Marcy and David from the Berkshire Edge. We take a look at just a few of the stories that they're following at the BerkshireEdge.com. Good morning, David. Good morning, Marcy.
Good morning.
How are you?
It is hot and humid.
Well, yes. You know what?
It feels like there are going to be thunderstorms.
I love hot and humid weather. On my personal Facebook page when this all started, I put the quote up, "I'm glad it's finally hot enough to complain about being how hot it is."
That's right.
I like warm weather. I don't like cold weather. So I'm one of those people that you're never going to hear a complaint about hazy, hot, and humid.
I like it, too.
That's why the good Lord invented air conditioning.
Yeah, we don't have much. Unfortunately, in
air
our house.
Yeah.
Well,
but it's all right. You know, we all grew up without air conditioning.
That's exactly right. But once you get
it was fine.
Air conditioning is kind of like reading glasses. Your eyes are great, but the minute you start using reading glasses, you need them. And air conditioning's that way. You can live without it, but the minute you live with it, you can't live without it.
Right.
All right. Now, I love Great Barrington Meeting Time. I think it's one of the most – I like town meetings in general, but in Great Barrington – it's amazing what the public comes up with and gets passed. And you had quite a meeting in the parking lot of the high school.
Right.
Well, this year, because of COVID, we usually have it in the auditorium of the high school. And, everyone comes in and piles in there. But, of course, this time, because of the COVID restrictions.
And last year, too.
And last year, we have it out in the parking lot. And luckily, it didn't rain.
And it wasn't that hot. Yeah, I mean, it had cooled down by the evening, so it was actually very pleasant to be outside. But, you know,
People came in their cars. It was kind of like going to a drive-in movie.
Right.
You know?
And they set it up so that there is a radio frequency on which you can, if you can't hear it in your, you know, if you're too far away to hear it, you can turn your car radio on. Of course, you risk running out your battery. But you can turn you can bring a portable radio.
Radio, yeah.
You could listen on the radio. They have a frequency. But, there was a pretty good turnout. The parking lot was full with two or three people per car. It's a great way to see everybody you know. And the select board is on a platform up above, and the people are in their cars. People brought chairs, and they were sitting outside in their chairs in front of their cars. It was really,
it's like a drive-in movie.
It was like a drive-in movie, but it's really, I mean, this is direct democracy. I find I wouldn't miss it.
Yeah, and really, the public did lead the way in a couple of different things that were approved at that meeting.
Well, the one thing that was very controversial right at the beginning. There were several, they're called warrants that had been proposed by, or articles that had been proposed by citizens last year that were never gotten around to last year, all having to do with restrictions on marijuana. And so they've been waiting for discussion for more than a year now, they petitioned to have them discussed first. And they were, and they all lost all these petitions. They were efforts to greatly restrict marijuana business, and unfortunately, I think that they made a number of very good points, but they went a little too far, and I think they stepped over the line. If they had had some more modest restrictions, I think they would have gotten them through, but they had. I think that these people, their main concern is that we not have too much commercial marijuana cultivation, you know, close to where people live because they're worried about the smell and they're worried about lights on all night. But this, these articles went so far as to, you know, to say that you can't grow your own. I mean, the law allows each adult to grow 6 plants. And they're saying that it can't be any less than 50 feet away from anybody else's property, which means that you have to have a lot size that's 100 feet wide or more than 100 feet. And many people said, you know, our lot sizes are not more, and we're not harming anybody with our 6 or 12 plants. So there was great discussion about that. And ultimately, you know, with all the buffer zones they wanted, nowhere near any place where children congregated, I mean, somebody pointed out that they are really trying with all these restrictions to legislate the marijuana business out of business. And you know, at that point, I think they lost. And then, you know, they went on to say they don't want to walk their children downtown, you know, to walk in front of marijuana dispensaries. And, of course, you know, at the same time, nobody objects to walking by liquor stores or bars. So, you know, I think, as I said, I think they had some very good points that could have gotten traction. But I think the entire package went further than people were willing to go. So it was roundly defeated. I mean, there was a big plurality of votes against it. Isn't that right, David?
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So we remained where we were.
Yeah. Right. No, and I think that they were disappointed. And I think they have real issues about. I mean, most of these people were people who fought against having a marijuana cultivation operation in a, you know, in an industrial zone which is very close to a residential area. And the people who are proposing that have temporarily backed off it, but they are legally able to come back.
Yep.
They backed off under protest, but they're legally able to come back. And so, you know, and I think, you know, there they had very good... they were making very good arguments, but as I said, I think this was too comprehensive, and it was, you know, people are now accustomed to marijuana. They like the money that comes into town. There hasn't been any problem. There's been nobody, no traffic accidents of people driving under the influence. There have been no problems with kids. It's all been very orderly. There's been no violence, you know. So there have been no problems from the marijuana, but this is... you know, an ideological objection more than anything else. And, you know, that went too far.
One of the other controversial issues was that parking lot at the former railroad station.
Right.
Oh, yes. Well, by the way, don't forget, also, we had the former railroad station, which is owned by Dale Culleton, a local entrepreneur, has been dormant since the end of, you know, passenger rail service, right. Which, by the way, is the same line that goes through Canaan.
Yep.
I've always thought it would be great to restore it myself, but I don't think that. I guess that's not going to happen right
now. Well, as soon as Connecticut gets some money, it'll happen. But
you think Connecticut will ever have the money?
Yeah, I really do.
Really?
Yeah, the state is doing much better. We have enough people moving into the area, as you know, up there now, that are going to appreciate train service more. So I think probably within the next 5 to 7 years, I think you'll see it actually happen. I really do, and it's just a natural progression of things. I'm a big believer in it, and I think it'll happen. The Housatonic Railroad spraying and killing people's vegetation is the biggest impediment in Connecticut right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they just every year they say they're not going to do it, and they do it. God, that doesn't help. That doesn't help with public relations.
No.
Well, they're kind of, the people that run that are kind of curmudgeonly. I've dealt with them over the years. In any case, by the way, I must say that one time I rode that freight train from Connecticut to Pittsfield and back. I mean, I just rode in the engine of the freight train that goes once a day up the line and comes back, and that's all there is, all the traffic that there is on this line.
But anyway, about the parking lot.
Yes.
I mean, it's so odd how perceptions vary because, there are groups of people who say, the downtown area of Great Barrington cannot survive without more parking. And there are other people who say, I've lived in this town for 30 years, 40 years, I never have a problem getting a parking space. But the town had proposed to buy this piece of property and to build parking lot, to build 50 parking spaces. One of the problems is it was very expensive. I mean, the land would be bought for $850,000, and it would cost another $300,000 or $400,000 to turn it into 50 parking spaces. So it's like, $1.2 million to build 50 parking spaces, for which they were going to charge $2 a day parking. So it didn't make much sense. On the other hand, we really do need parking, and it's one thing to say that you're a 40-year resident of Great Barrington and you know where to park. But visitors coming and people who are, tourist visitors who are coming who might want to shop in downtown Great Barrington, they don't know where the hidden parking spaces are. And so, if they're discouraged from coming into downtown Great Barrington, and that really is the truth and a problem. And what these spaces were supposed to be is for business owners and people who work downtown to have a place to park away from the main street, so that shoppers and visitors would more readily find parking. And it got voted down. Which I was, even though I thought it was not the perfect solution, I felt badly that it.
Yeah.
I think we do need parking.
This has been an ongoing issue for many, many, many years.
Right.
Because one of the complaints is that the business owners themselves park in front of their businesses, which limits the number of customers who have access to parking. So,
which is true.
Right. So. It's a problem that is still looking for a solution.
Right.
All right.
Meanwhile, while we in Great Barrington turned down restrictions on marijuana, in the next town over in Sheffield, they had an emergency meeting last night and Monday night, and they voted to limit the number of marijuana cultivation sites to the 5 that already exist.
Yep.
Well, that's not unexpected to me because 5 cultivation sites in a town the size of Sheffield, I think is a let it sit there
enough.
And see what happens over the course of 5 or 6 years. See if any of them go out of business. But you can't just turn every lot that you can into a marijuana growing site because sooner or later the boom is going to go bust. So I mean, I don't think that's necessarily such a bad thing what they did there.
I don't either.
Yeah, they got 5 sites in town, and they'll see what happens. I mean, and in Great Barrington, I don't think that was too bad what happened there either, because they are bringing in money. Things, there's only been one bad incident that's happened since marijuana's been, and that's when that one person tried to rob somebody outside of Theory Wellness. Other than that, everything has gone perfectly well with the marijuana site. So I think,
and it's brought millions of dollars into the town coffers.
There you go. I mean, and you don't
deny that.
Yeah, not at all. And money isn't everything, but nowadays, until the economy stabilizes and everything, it's very important to a town like Great Barrington and to Sheffield and to every other town. I mean, budgets are tight, and if you can get some extra money and keep a lid on things and keep things going, hey, I think Great Barrington's done a great job on all that.
Well, and just think of this, too, that, this revenue you know, it eases the burden on property taxes for people. So it's, you know, there's, I think people are also thinking that their property they're always complaining the property taxes are, you know, getting to be unaffordable, and this offers some relief for that.
No, and let's go to Tanglewood, because there's good news and bad news. The good news is that Tanglewood's going to have a season. The bad news is James Taylor was going to wait one more year, because it's just a smart thing to do, because even though they're going to have a season, what is it, they're limiting it to 9,000 people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
per concert, right?
Yeah, per concert. So it's, but it's going to be a, it's too bad that Taylor isn't going to, he's traditionally, actually, his kids went to school in Lenox. So, you know, a nationally known musician he is and performer, but he lives here.
Well, his tickets sell out in 10 minutes anyway, so 9,000.
I know,
the crowd is enormous.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's too bad, but I mean, I think it's the safe thing for people not to congregate in Tanglewood in two great numbers.
And also, you know,
this year.
Also, he would upset more of his fans than are going to be happy, because only 9,000 people can get to see it.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's a very strange position to be put in.
Yeah.
The thing about James Taylor's concerts is he usually does two, and one he donates entirely to Tanglewood. The other one is for him. So it's a big money maker for Tanglewood.
All right, I want to move on to the West Stockbridge story. I find this very interesting, that a proposed concert venue and restaurant, big standoff over access, and it's really gotten out of control. And I first saw this, I think you first put this in your, on the BerkshireEdge.com last week, and I read the story through, and boy, you can pick a side in this one, there's no doubt about it, and both sides have compelling arguments.
Yeah, this is... there was a raucous select board meeting about this dispute, where two downtown businesses are at each other's throats here.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And one is the Foundry, and the other is a restaurant who's has a little driveway that provides access. To the Foundry's...
To the restaurant.
Yeah.
It goes through the property owned by the Foundry. And there's no access to this restaurant
except through,
across the Foundry's land.
Right.
I don't know how that happened, but it was because the town closed off a road and made it strictly pedestrian. So you can't... I mean, you know, the fact is there's plenty of parking in West Stockbridge, and it's not so far from... parking areas, and people could easily walk to this restaurant. It's turned into something very nasty. And the restaurant is owned by a Vietnamese woman who apparently is, claiming that this is discrimination against Asian Americans, and has turned that into a very nasty argument when it's not about discrimination against Asian Americans at all.
Well, it's about safety. They have this little access road. It's for the safety of patrons who are going to the Foundry concerts.
Have outdoor concerts on their land.
On their land, right.
And unfortunately, people have to drive over their land to park in front of this Vietnamese restaurant, and the Foundry owner is concerned that if she has a concert and she's got people out on this grassy knoll, that her patrons may be in trouble. You know, they may be in danger of cars driving through in order to get to the restaurant.
Oh. Something will follow, but it did get out of control very quickly. There's no doubt about that.
Well, and apparently it's very nasty.
Yeah.
The owner of the Foundry has been verbally attacked, and she's been attacked on Facebook, and I understand that she's been attacked at the farmer's market, which is held on the land that she owns and which she generously allows the farmer's market to meet on. And somebody came up to her and started screaming at her at the farmer's market on her own land. So.
Yes. Now, I have to go to the next story because, and I know I shouldn't do this, but I can do it because you guys can't. The name, I started off with the story, and I see the name Destiny Saunders.
Yeah.
And I say, well, okay, first of all, that's one of those great names. And then we go on, and we find out it's a Pittsfield entrepreneur who has several different enterprises. She's an evangelist with her own ministry as well, and you've got a profile of Destiny.
Yes.
Yeah, this is...
No, she sounds like an amazing woman. I'd like to meet her. She is...
Not only does she have her own business, but she's a minister.
Yes, and she's figured out, you know, something that women of color need in Pittsfield, which is... hair and beauty supplies, and so she is starting a pop-up store. It's going to be open this weekend, and I think after that she'll see how it goes, where she's, you know, bringing in a big supply of stuff that women need and can't buy locally, and I wish her well.
I just love the name Destiny.
I do too. Oh, yes, it sounds like a rock singer. And the name of the store also, which I am not sure how it's to be pronounced, but it looks, it's like Dolce Rose, but the Dolce is spelled Dolce.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how that's supposed to be pronounced, Dolce, or, you know, but anyway, she's been promoting it on Facebook, and she's developing quite a following, and it's a great story.
All right. We only have a 1 minute left, and I want to get the last minute in about your magazine, a story about touring historic artist studios.
Oh, that's a good one. Marcy, that...
Yeah.
Explain that a little bit.
Yes. Well, we have a wonderful new magazine section on The Edge, which reflects our print magazine, which is now out in distribution. But the magazine in print and online is all about places to go and things to do. And this is a story that we've added to the magazine that was not in the print issue, but it's a review of a terrific book, which is Guide to Historic Artists' Homes and Studios in the Berkshires. And it is exactly what it says. I mean, it's a guide to places like Chesterwood and...
Arrowhead.
Pardon?
Arrowhead.
Arrowhead.
Which is Herman Melville's home in Pittsfield.
And Olana, which is in the Hudson Valley. It's right on the Hudson River, and it was the home of Frederick Church. I mean, we have the Frailing House and Morris House Studio in Stockbridge, or in Lenox, maybe, they were two very interesting artists who were really part of the sort of modern art movement in the early 20th century. And their house remains, and it's both a wonderful example of kind of early 20th century modern, as well as a museum of their terrific art collection. It's a charming place to visit. So.
All right.
So this is, another addition to our resources on places to go and things to do in the Berkshires.
All right. Well, we are flat out of time once again.
Okay.
We just look at a few stories here, but you can find all the stories and more at berkshireedge.com. Guys, we'll speak to you again next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Take care.
Stay cool.
I will. Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That is, once again, the Berkshire Edge on air. You can find them at theberkshireedge.com.